the one time I came home to visit my family and it was Christmas, and my dad was like, all right, let's go to mass. And I go, I'm not going. Big shock. My poor father had to deal with his daughter being a non-believer, and then later on had to deal with his daughter being a porn star. I put him through hell. But he still loves me very much. He is the sweetest man, and God bless him.
Hi, and welcome to Middle Me, the podcast about Filipino female sex and pleasure after 40. I'm your host, Anna P. Santos, and this is part two of our episode with Mei Ling Su, the woman who went from Ateneo graduate to accidental porn star. In this interview, Mei is in her New York apartment, and I find myself constantly looking at the painting hanging behind her. It's a painting of Mei entitled Porn Saint. Here's Mei bearing it all and talking about life at 49 as porn actor, wife, and mother.
Yes, that is my Porn Saint painting. It was by an artist named Chelsea Green Louita from New York City. And it was on display in the museum. I forgot, it's in Amsterdam.
Okay.
It was on display in a museum in Amsterdam for a while there. And after it was on display, they sent it to me. And now here it is. It's hanging in my room.
Did you have to pose for that?
Yes, I did. I had to pose for it. And it is a woman. It's me. And I'm lounging. I'm laying sideways. And I have a honey beehive to my side. And it's dripping with honey. And it's dripping on my body. And there is a cup of tea next to me and a cake and some milk. And there's a bee, no, a couple bees buzzing around, flowers, leaves. So I love it. I love it because I am a beekeeper. So there's one. Yeah, I keep bees and I love it. Absolutely love it. And I love bee culture. It's very feminist culture. We have a queen bee and we have a whole entire hive of worker bees, female worker bees, and we have some drone bees for sex. And so it's a very feminist feminist culture, and I love that. So yeah.
Mei, what's been your journey like with your sexuality?
Oh my God. I think that I've been, as soon as I started menstruating, I was very interested in sex. Even long before I actually had sex, I was reading about sex. I was talking about sex. I was writing little sexy fantasies of what I thought it was going to be like to have sex with, you know, name your sexy 80s pop star back then.
Who was you?
John Taylor of Duran Duran.
Okay.
Johnny Depp, you know, these two. I was that child you had to watch out for. And then I finally found myself a partner when I became a teenager. I don't know if I, my neighborhood boyfriend and I found each other and experimented with everything except for intercourse.
Everything but the girl. That's what they used to call it.
Right. Oh, really? Yes. So everything except for intercourse, and then college. Finally, I lost it. I lost the V. And then after college, I came to the US and I really quite soon met my husband. And I was young, I was 24 when I got married. And that is actually what started the whole non-monogamy idea. He said, he was older than me. He was 32 when we got married and I was 24. And he said, you know, I don't want to deprive you of any experiences because you're so young, you know, like, and he's like, I just want to make sure you know that you come home to me. And that was sexy. I thought that was sexy, you know, and I came from the Philippines where, you know, the guys are jealous. And well, at least the ones that I had, you know, when we first got married, he was like, you know, let's not just go for what our preconceived notions of marriage is, what we thought our parents' marriages are, our grandparents' marriages are. Let's make our marriage our own. Let's tailor it. Let's DIY it. and so we kind of forged our own path of like, okay, well, I think this is sexy. Let's do this. Oh, I think this is sexy. Let's do this. So, you know, we also got married around the advent of digital cameras. So it seemed natural to fall into this. When we started, our very first photo shoot was actually on film. And it was a film camera, and it was a little awkward picking it up at the developers. But soon after, we got a digital camera, and then we became very prolific because we didn't have to face the developers anymore. We had the pictures, and here we are. It just accumulated. Mm-hmm. And early on in the internet, when the internet started, we were part of all of these alt groups sharing pictures. And after a while, all these other websites came up where you could monetize these pictures, and webcam and all this came out in the late 90s, early 2000s, and Mailing Sue was born.
After 25 years of marriage and making adult films with her husband, May talks about how their collaboration is a way of staying connected with one another. And yeah, having a non-monogamous marriage also helps.
After a while, you start going, okay, well, you know, I have a husband and he wants some excitement. And, you know, I could use some excitement. So it became our way of connecting again, like, to have this project. Because what's good about that, the thing about porn is that we shoot it. Mm-hmm. It's sexy. You know, actually, the whole process is sexy. So when we're preparing, when we're thinking about what we're going to shoot, trying on different outfits, setting up the setting, it's sexy. And we get turned on by that. And then the act itself, when we're doing it, is sexy. And then after the fact, so I'm done, I've washed my face, I'm back in my mom clothes, I'm doing my mom thing. And he goes off with the footage and he's editing it and he's turning on to it. So it's got this multiplier effect. Yeah. And then later on at night, he hands me the video. We watch the video together. We get turned on all over again from the memory of it. And then I post it on the website. I'm writing about it. I get turned on all over again. So kumbaga, yung 20 to 30 minute shoot is actually a much longer seduction because of the whole process is sexy, you know, from pre-production all the way to post-production. We're getting turned on. And then the cycle begins all over again. I guess the best thing that happened over the past 10 years was that he and I found a couple that who wanted to play with us, you know, to have a relationship with, like to date. They were younger, much younger. The guy was, 19 when we met. The girl was 22. We were with them for years. So they grew with us. We grew with them. There were things that we were like, wow, you're so advanced for your age. It's like, there were times when the four of us were together. There were times when just he and the woman were together and me and that boy man were together. And there was a friendship there that was really good for us. Like, I think when you've been together as long as we have, because we are now, and we just celebrated our silver wedding anniversary. So we're 25 years into marriage. There are some things that just baggage accumulates, baggage accumulates. It's sometimes it's really hard to go into sex without all this baggage, sometimes I like young guys because they got nothing else on their minds. You encounter them and all they want is to have sex, and it's no drama, no baggage. You know what they want. It's not as a, when you're with someone you've been with for so long, there's so much psychological stuff there. And even if you're with someone who's a stranger, they come with their own baggage too, if they're older, which is exciting sometimes, but sometimes it's like, oh my God, what are you talking about?
Just too much drama.
Yeah, too much. And so much to unpack. Mm-hmm. It was good for us to have that relationship, and we really cherished it. At some point, they parted ways, the couple. The woman was ready to settle down, and the man was not. And so she was shopping for a house for us four to live in. She was that serious. And then suddenly she met this other guy who was ready to get married. And so she broke up with her boyfriend and went and got married. And now she's happily married with a child, maybe two, who knows? We've lost contact with her, but the guy is still in contact with us. He actually came out as bi. Mm-hmm. And so that's why he wasn't ready to settle down yet. He had to find out yet. He had to explore first. So
what do you, I think a lot of people would like to know what it's like to be in an open relationship. And you've obviously, made it successful, made it work for you and your husband.
I'm not going to say successful because it's not like there's an end point. I feel like it's a journey. So like I mentioned earlier, I felt like during my 20s and 30s, I was reckless. I was just like, yeah, go, 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 go. okay, this sounds like fun. Let's do it, But there were times when I admit I was insensitive and careless with my partner, not touching base sufficiently before, during, after these encounters with other people. And there were some feelings hurt. I'm not going to say that it's all rosy. And like I said, for anyone who is attempting or wanting to go into a non-monogamous, polyamorous, open relationship, the communication has to be top-notch. That's what I learned. And I learned it, actually from experience. I read it everywhere, but you know, you don't really apply it until you're there. You think you're communicating well, pero medyo hindi pa pala, you know? And there's a lot of things that I could have done better. And every day you learn something new. So it's not, I wouldn't call it a successful relationship, but I guess the fact that we're still together makes it successful. Right. But you know, it's like some days are better than others. Some experiences are better than others.
How did you unpack all of the other things that, you know, we've been taught as women that we should be the one? Or how did you deal with feelings of jealousy or insecurity, for example? Or were there any?
Well, I started out being, you know, the regular girl. I had some feelings of jealousy. And, you know, sometimes I do too. Sometimes he does too. Fine. And then one time I got involved with this man who's about the same age as my husband, who's, you know, like a millionaire, you know, like a real man. not to say that young men are not real men. I'm just saying this man was a self-made man, is a self-made man, still alive. and my husband, he said, after the fact, after I was with this man, he said he was actually really jealous. Hmm. And it challenged him. It challenged him because this is a man who's a self-made man. He wasn't a boy that's just experimenting. It's just like, yeah, I just want to have sex with a MILF, whatever. This man could take me away from him. That if he wanted to, that he could have me. And I was just like, well, I don't know about that. But then I gave it a thought and I thought, you know, yeah, there's a certain level of depth that comes with age. And when you can talk to someone and you be on the same level, it's different from, you know, these flings with young men that, you know, are just going to come and go because they've got life still ahead of them and they've got things they want to do and they want to experience all that. And I'm just one of the many experiences that they want to have. Whereas an older man is like, okay, I've lived and you're special. I've experienced a lot and you're so. And I think that in the end, that's what happened with that one too, is that we both thought, you know, we have families. Let's not pursue this anymore because we might get to the point where we like each other too much. Wow. So yeah, there's jealousies. And I have had my share of feeling jealous of the people that my husband loves as well. I see, I'm not just jealous of the flings. It's just like, yeah, you know, it's a fling. But when he falls in love with someone, then I'm like, oh wow. And the way I come, I, the way I get over that is by thinking about how happy this person makes him.
Wow.
And so when I see him happy, I'm happy too, you know, when he comes home or he comes to me and he's like, I had such a great time. Ah, I love so-and-so. She's so funny, you know, and then you think, wow, he's so happy. I like seeing him happy. And when he's happy, he's nicer to everybody, you know, he's nicer to me. Hindi siya bugnutin. You know, and I'm like, you know, I like that. I like this person that comes. And that's the thing about having other relationships with other people, is that different people bring out different sides of you, you mm-hmm. know? So, you know, when I'm with young men, I feel young, I feel sexy, I feel still desirable. So then I come home to my husband and he has a woman who's feeling this, and therefore she comes home more confident, more excited, more, you know, sexy. And same with him. He comes home with someone he's with that makes him feel vital and exciting and fun and young. And then I get to have that. I get to have that sexy, vital, young husband, you know? So there's no, you know, I think that that also comes from security. You know, that whole feeling that if you get, if you don't have this lingering feeling between you and your partner that he might leave me for her, or she might leave me for him. If you're secure that he's coming home, you know, or she's coming home, because he's not going to get anything better than this.
What I'm hearing is it's like injecting a dose of new relationship energy every time into a relationship that's stable and secure. But we all know that that's great, but over a period of time, it also becomes, oh, hum, you want.
Yeah, it's hard. And, you know, and that's another thing too. Like I said, over the past 10 years, there was a lot of unpacking baggage, so much baggage, 25 years of baggage. And when we were dating that young couple, the young man was a really good sounding board for me. He was young, but he was very mature for his age, and he listened to me. So I had somebody to sound off on. And he's like, you know, I don't want to just be a fuck boy. I want to be your boyfriend. And I'm like, okay, then you want to be my boyfriend? I will. It's like, yeah, I want you to confide in me and, you know, tell me how you're feeling. And so I liked that. I had, if things were getting to be too much with my husband, as far as like all the baggage we have to unpack and deal with and communicate about, I go to him and I say, you know, I'm going through this. These are my feelings. I feel really bad about this. And he listens and he goes, I got you. Don't worry. I got you. You know, and it's nice to just have someone hug you and listen to you go on and on and on about things. And I'm sure it was nice for him to also take a break, my husband, to take a break with the woman he was with and just have some light, like some kind of lightness around that, you know, like.
I think it was also like integral that you said that, you know, you never, the two of you are always like, we're going to come home to each other, always.
Yes, definitely. That's it's good to have a home base, like a base. And then you can be stable. If you're not, you're floating all over the place. You know, you're just like going from one to another. Wala kang anchor. And having an anchor is really, it's good for your security.
What do you know about monogamy now that you didn't know before? How has it, all of this changed your view of the one and all of that?
I don't believe in the one. That's the thing. I've had many the ones. So I've met a lot of, and I've been with a lot of people. And I swear, every time I'm with them, I'm like, you and I connect in such a unique way that's irreplaceable. I can't just be like, you know, put peg A into slot B and replace peg A with peg C. You know, it's irreplaceable. These are all very, very unique encounters. And I can remember every single one of them. And I've learned from every single one of them. And I've been enriched by every single one of them. And it's not always good. These experiences are not always good, but it's still a learning experience. So I think as a human, it's good to experience a lot of different things. And, you know, I'm not saying go have a non-monogamous relationship now. I'm saying everyone gets that from different things. You know, some people get it from career, you know, having different experiences in their career or having different experiences in, you know, like whatever, like charity work, you know, like different things like that. Mine just happens to be sex.
I love that. Work, charity, and then sex. Yeah, along that same line.
Yeah. We all get our gratification in different ways.
Exactly. Whatever floats your boat, whatever toots your horn.
Right.
What is it that you would like people to know about May as a person, as a porn star? I heard in your reading, a mother.
Yes, I am a mom. I am a very devoted mom. I'm an indie porn producer, which means I don't shoot around. I don't go to the different porn companies and shoot with them. I only shot once professionally. And then after that, it's all been at home. So my schedule is my own. So when my child was really young, obviously I stopped for a while there, and then I scheduled things around my mom time. When I'm with my kid, I am 100% mom, you know, like that's it. And I'm really very, very devoted, you know, like read to my kid bedtime stories at night, so that my kid grows up with this love and appreciation for books. I'm very proud of that. And also being open to discussions about sex throughout my kid's childhood. It was very, you know, like talk about sex in age appropriate ways, mm-hmm. obviously, because I didn't just like barrage my kid with, you know, sex info. It's like, if I'm asked, I answer truthfully in age appropriate ways. You know, where do babies come from? You know, that's a basic question. And so it is answered truthfully. There is no, oh, a spork, you know, like brings a baby. Nope, sorry. You're going to get the truth from me. There's as my kid went into teenagehood, you know, questions about sex, about gender. I'm very open to that, but also not pushy. Mm-hmm. That's the thing, is like when I don't pry into my kid's personal life. So, you know, these things, just being sensitive, being a good communicator is important. Same skills as having relationships, polyamorous relationships, having, or, you know, primary relationship.
But also, was there ever any need to reconcile within yourself, like the mom aspect and the indie porn star aspect of your life? And was there ever like a joint?
Oh yeah, I always do. Always. I always do. I'm like, especially when I became a mom, I quit for a while there. I didn't do anything. Like I didn't shoot anything. I just was 100% mom, and I was so happy. You know, that's I think that it's important that we are human with our kids, you know, that we don't put, you know, pretend that we're some kind of like, you know, saint, you know, because they're looking to us as their, what they're expecting adulthood to be like. They watch us and they watch what adulthood is like. Now, if we only show them one side of us, then when they go into adulthood, what do you think they're going to do? They're only going to show you one side of you, one side of them, you know, that they won't let you in. Maybe they're hurting somewhere. Maybe they're struggling with things. They're not going to let us in on that because we never let them in, you know? So I think it's important that we're human with them, that we're real, that we're real people, because then they can be real with us, and then they can be real people, that they won't try to suppress certain things that they're feeling. If they know that we have a sexuality, then they can feel free to have a sexuality.
Starting from her early 20s, May has spent a lot of time in front of the camera. That includes taking a birthday nude photo every year. On her Instagram page, May talked about struggling with one particular birthday nude photo and being hypercritical of her aging body. She experimented with editing the photo until she decided, you know what, fuck it. She posted the photo unedited, as she has always done. Here, May gets real about coming to terms with body issues.
May, you spend a lot of time in front of the camera. Your body is, you know, exposing a lot in front of the camera. And women always have a lot of body issues. How did you deal with yours? Did you have any body issues to deal with? Especially, you know, you have a whole archive now from in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s. Did that help?
Definitely.
With body issues?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When I was younger, when before I met my husband, I had issues about my flat chest. I used to wear these padded bras. And then it was embarrassing undressing because I felt like I had falsely advertised breasts when there were not. So anyone that I came home with, you know, like if I was to have sex with a guy, I had to face the fact that I have to bear these breasts that were flat. And then I met my husband and he's like, I like it. I think it's hot. And I was just like, well then burn these padded bras. I don't need them anymore. I actually have someone who appreciates me for who I am. And then the internet, as we started posting pictures like on these alt groups, affirmed what he told me, that a good amount of people actually thought that girls with small breasts were sexy. And I was like, oh, really? I thought only these hourglass shapes and big boobs were sexy. You know, I was actually at a younger age considering getting a boob job, you know? So I was like, wow, so this is great. I actually learned that I was hot. And then I learned that whatever I had was sexy. So it helped with my self-esteem. And now as I look back as someone in my middle age, looking at my 20-year-old self, I'm like, oh my God, I was so hot. I had such a flat tummy. Back then I thought I was so straight. Like I didn't have boobs. So my stomach, I did not have an hourglass shape. So there's no definition there. So even if my stomach was flat, it was like the same measurement as my top. So... I had, you know, so all the way through, I had issues. And then, like I said, my best body was when I was a new mom, which, you know, a total waste because I didn't use it for porn because I was a mom. I was just like, nope, this is 100% mom. But yeah, I was like, look at you. I had like my best body then because I had a very, well, actually, I still had a little bit of a tummy, but like maybe a year after I gave birth, I had a flat tummy then. Mm-hmm. So I had big boobs and a flat tummy. Perfect. Wow. I had a perfect body. And then, you know, now it's calmed down a little bit. I still have boobs, but now I have a little bit of a spongy middle, which I try to work it out. And so, like I said, as an older woman now, like nudes are art school stuff. I'd rather wear like maybe a sexy corset, you know, so it made you maybe camouflage the middle a little bit, you know, but still show some, you know, some of the good stuff. I think it's, you just know what you're working with, just and know that in 5 or 10 years time you're going to look back to those pictures and go, damn, I looked hot. So, you know, like as I grew older, I realized that, wow, you know, all these insecurities I had when I was younger, it was so unnecessary. What I found is that people look at you as a full package. Don't get obsessed over these tiny little, oh, my stomach, oh, my thighs, oh, my butt. These nitpicky things, nobody falls in love with a butt, you know. Well, they have to be super, super shallow if they do. And if they do, you don't want them. You want someone that will fall in love with the whole package. And that includes your mind. That's something people forget. We have to take care of our minds because that is really what makes us sexiest. If you can bring a role play, if you can, like, you know, show up and have rap, you know, if you can show up and be like, have some kind of role play in mind, like a scenario you can just pull out by just talking that way or talking dirty. Oh my God, you can have whoever you want in the palm of your hand. And it doesn't matter if you have a flat butt or if your boobs are sagging, none of that matters. If you can turn people on with your mind, you know, the way you talk, the way you move, the way you walk, that's the most important.
I love that. What would you tell your younger self now? I mean, what's something that you know now that you wish your younger self knew before?
I wish I knew how to communicate better. I think, like I said, I was so concerned. I was so insecure about my body. I had all these like little hangups I was trying to get rid of. And that's the thing, trying. I didn't start out with a lot of security. There was an aspiration for this lifestyle or this confidence, level of confidence, but I didn't have it yet. Mm-hmm. I still was reaching for it. And so I had a lot of just issues to confront. And I think that if I had communicated those better, maybe I would have stretched out this past 10 years of reckoning and having to unpack all this baggage. I could have stretched it out throughout all of my marriage and slowly built up to where we are at now, instead of being reckless back then, being insecure but not expressing it, being insecure but suppressing that and feeling like, no, but this is the aspiration. I should be at 100, you know, immediately, even if I was at maybe at 30 or 40, you know, instead of communicating back then saying, hey, I want to be at this level of 100, but I'm right now at 30. Can you help me get through this? Then that would be a better scenario than pretending like I got it. I am at 100 now, when really I had all these lingering insecurities and lingering issues from, you know, my childhood, my upbringing, my hangups, my insecurities.
It's a blind spot for us. So we're learning as we go along. And I think conversations like this help.
Yeah, definitely. I love it. I love talking about it. I love sharing my experience, and I love listening to other people's experiences. Of course, I don't know what's up for me in my 50s. I'm going to look to my elders. I'm going to look to Dr. Margie to tell me, okay, what's your experience in your 50s? I'm curious. But also, I know from my elders that may asim pa in the 50s. So, you know, maybe, you know, like I'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I know that I'm more secure now too. And I feel like I went through quite a roller coaster ride in my 40s. And so I'm approaching my 50s emotionally more secure. Mm-hmm. So maybe that physical and emotional will be more in tune. We're evolving, and we are evolving in new ways, not just evolving in the path that was laid out before us, but we as humans are evolving in new ways every day. And so throw out the rule books and experience and live and be in the moment and be in touch with yourself and who you are and what you want in life. And that's the only path that you should follow.
That was part two of our episode with Mei-Ling Su, Ateneo graduate and porn star. From marriage and monogamy to wife and mother, Mei went off the conventional path that, once upon a time, we were told was the only way to go. Mei wrote her own story and continues to write and rewrite it as she goes along. I guess that's what midlife is about. It's the coming together of all the versions of the person you were, and loving and being kind to that person, because you deserve it. I hope that hearing stories like this will help you feel like Middle Me is a space where you can safely explore that awkward stage of midlife, you know, where you're neither young, but not really old yet. You're somewhere in the middle, not as a sinner, not as a saint, just as a real person. I'm Anna P. Santos. Thanks for listening to Middle Me, Stories of Filipino Female Sex and Pleasure After 40. You can find Middle Me wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Hit that subscribe button and drop a comment or two. Actually, dropping a 5-star review would be even better. Till our next episode.